Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, betting agencies in North Korea doing their ass, Parramatta start tapering before the semi-finals, and God tells a Christian lady to go on OnlyFans. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit Boys, live from the Craig Gower Twin Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTBpodcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's a man who this week went 10.1 kilometres from his house. He's a man who's organised a worldwide protest this Sunday demanding that Ellen is put back on Channel 9. And tonight he's wearing a Benji Marshall power balance band. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, thank you, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, Georges River, local government area. It's all I know now, former. Not allowed to leave the beautiful surrounds of Oatley Village because of Boris and the Chinese virus. But why would I want to? I've got everything right here. But you are correct. I am wearing my Benji Marshall power balance band on my left hand and my Livestrong yellow band on my right.
For immediately I can tell the difference in your energy tonight.
I've got the yellow one on for Lance Armstrong's charity, the Human Growth Hormone Foundation, or whatever that was for. Can't quite remember. And I'm wearing black shoe polish under my eyes, so I am ready and raring to go, former.
Ironically, I found those Livestrong ones that Lance Armstrong was marketing, they're real good ball bag ties, so so ironic considering he didn't have any.
That's a great image to have in everyone's head as we kick off the show.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Yeah, first story comes from the Narrabeen Telegraph, and it's our OnlyFans model claims selling raunchy naked videos is what God wants her to do.
It sure is, sweetheart. Good for you.
A model who posts nude videos and photos online for paying subscribers, has claimed that God wants her to be a sex worker. And while it's very flattering, there's no need to call me God, toots. self-proclaimed Christian Nita Fiston is an OnlyFans content creator, a site where fans can, in case you're not familiar with it, a site where fans can pay a monthly fee to gain access to her raunchy productions. The Colorado resident, 45, believes it's her divine mission to empower women to embrace their sexual side. Nita explained, "I asked God if I should continue stripping off, and the answer was always yes."
He moves in mysterious ways, God.
Well, it's at this point, Sid, I can now say that I actually don't regret hiding under her bed and pretending to be God. God, should I get nude on OnlyFans and give myself a good scene to? Yes.
God said in a thick Aussie accent.
And have an access code that I can get there for nothing. @former_legend. The blonde beauty has 953,000 social media followers, much like the rugby league wheat mole, and earns a huge $1.8 million every year.
Whoa.
Much like Craig Bellamy, she claims that she became a Christian after having a dream about Jesus at 9 years old. That's when you were hiding under a bed, Sid. While Nita...
that's when she saw her priest and the priest suggested this.
While Nita wasn't raised in the faith... she became spiritual and tried to build a relationship with Christ, but Christ said he was busy. But she says she rejects misogyny that often comes with Christianity. Nita explains, that experience helped me seek out Christianity and I built a relationship with Christ on a personal level, rather than one filled with a doctrine written by men thousands of years ago. The Bible was written during a time when women were not allowed to read or write. Better time, Sid. I believe it would be much different if women were able to be part of writing it. Geez, it's always about the glass ceiling. The 45-year-old believes that Christianity has surpassed women's sexuality, but this is not what God intended, she says. She thinks God gave her sexuality as a gift to share with others. Nita stated, when we experience an orgasm, all right, with someone else, we share a small part of how God feels about us, or at least my minister. The Christian faith frowns upon the desire to have sex and to enjoy it. Despite this, she does get abuse online from people who shame her for feeling and looking good in my body.
Look, Former, there's no better way to beat misogyny, fight against the patriarchy, than stripping off your clothes for men to jack off to you on the internet.
Sitting in front of their computers in their undies in a singlet.
She truly is doing God's work, Former. I'm sensing some daddy issues here. So why not go straight to the top for guidance? The Holy Father will set you straight. You do you, Nita. And I'm telling you, looking at her site, it's Nita by name and Nita by nature, Former. She's very tidy. I signed us up to her OnlyFans page using your credit card.
Brilliant. Hey, just quickly, I know I was talking to God about Nita, and she said to me, that's God that is, she said to me, am I right, ladies? She said to me, I'm joking, God doesn't exist.
Full credit to the boys.
Next story comes from the Orange Mirror, and that's not a colour. A woman sells kinky orgasm art with partner to help boost sex lives on OnlyFans.
OnlyFans again.
A woman who paints her orgasms claims to earn a fortune from her creative work. Fonda Cox, 44, from Washington, began her artistic work as a daily devotion to deepen intimacy with her own body. It's helped her to discover her sensual and sexual preferences as well as enhance her artistic creativity. Her practice is that straightforward too. She says she has an orgasm, then paints what she felt like in her body. She shares her unique content on OnlyFans with her husband, Hans Cox, 47, and he approves of her kinky work. In fact, the couple believe their work helps to improve people's sex lives too. Fonda first started OnlyFans as a safe place to post her paintings because a lot of it was getting pulled off. That's right, pulled off social media. Oh, Sid, if I had a dollar. Then, when she embarked on orgasm art exploration, it was time to bring her creations to the adults-only subscription site. She admits, she said, when I first met Hans, OnlyFans was a topic of discussion on our first date, and that's all it was. But her work of art is as simple as it sounds. She reaches the big O, then she paints what she felt in her body. And Sid, as you know, I'm an orgasm artist. There's plenty of walls around my house where you can see where I too have reached solo climax.
Sure is.
There's also the curtains, the carpet, a sock, and on one bad day, the cat. She entailed, each time I engaged in my orgasm art, I experimented with what I was wearing, listening to, and toys I was using. This helps me to understand how I could most enjoyably achieve an orgasm and how I could convey that into a painting. Her work has also proven popular among her fans, who can't wait to check in daily. She concluded, geez, I reckon there's a week of the month I might give it a miss. She concluded, all of my content is adored and appreciated by my fans for different reasons.
Yeah, this is fantastic Former. Geez, OnlyFans has a lot to answer to, though. I looked this chick up and read an article from the New York Post about her. The headline was, and this is fair dinkum, I used to work for Fauci, now I sell my orgasm art on OnlyFans. And I got to tell you, Former,
she's made the right choice.
Mate, being cooped up with Dr. Fauci every day would get my juices flowing. As long as he's wearing a mask, Former, you got to be safe. But I decided yesterday I'd give this a crack. Painting using my orgasms.
Yep.
I did 17 artworks yesterday, Former. Here's have a look on the screen. This is what I call Spider-Man.
It's just your hand.
They're available on my OnlyFans page for 20 cents a month, or go to fullcredittotheboys.bigcartel.com.
I tell you what, I don't know whether you've seen her heavy week art, but, oh, jeez, might give that a miss.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It was just all red and tears.
And chocolate and hating men.
Did you see some of the artworks? Fair income. They're piss poor. They're rubbish.
And finally, let's get this show back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, let's.
There's only one way we can do that.
Down to Florida, we welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays every day in Florida.
Yeah, Florida man's been arrested this week for threatening Disney on Twitter.
Tell me more.
It's from the Kingscliff Courier. Florida man was arrested for making threats against Disney on Twitter. Fair enough too. Sid, Disney's had it too good for too long, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office said 31-year-old Stephen Jordan, Michael's brother, was arrested for threatening to throw, place, or discharge a destructive device. Detectives assigned to the threat management section were notified by the Central Florida Intelligence Exchange of threats made on Twitter. Jordan created a Twitter account on August 8 and made a total of 186 tweets within a three-hour period. Have a rest, bro. PCSO detectives worked with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and determined Jordan was the owner of the Twitter account. Officials said Jordan admitted to investigators that he wrote the threatening tweets and he would delete the account after police had instructed him, which operated under the Twitter handle at Sid Punts, all one word. Jordan was also convicted in 2019 for making a false report about planting a bomb/explosive or weapon of mass destruction. It's got a bit of Kim Jong-un about him, according to detectives.
Hey, we've got a criminal mastermind here, former. This bloke sets up a Twitter account 4 o'clock on a Sunday arvo using his own name.
What? What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Then he threatens Walt Disney, who isn't dead, former. He's been cryogenically frozen. Go and Google that. That's actually true.
Yeah, so they say.
And he'll come back and kick this bloke's ass when he hears of these shenanigans. How could anyone have a beef with Disney? Go and Google how many executives are pedophiles are on the Google machine.
But Disney... Also Google hidden meanings in Disney cartoons.
It's shocking. But Disneyland, former, is the happiest.
They're a fun crowd down there.
Disneyland's the happiest place on earth, former. It's heaps better than Dreamworld.
NRL round review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Yes, we started on Thursday night, Sid, when the Melbourne Storm faced the Canberra Raiders and they did them pretty easy, winning 26 points to 16. The Storm clocked up their 18th win in a row by defeating the Canberra Raiders by 10 points despite a physical and error-laden second half. The Raiders stepped it up a gear in the second half to worry the Storm, who were looking less than convincing, but 45 missed tackles resulted in some long periods of defending by the Raiders that ultimately sucked the juice from their attack. The Storm's third try also seen them break the club's record for most points in a season, which now stands at 743, with still three games to play.
Yeah, the Raiders started well in this one with a well-constructed try down that right-hand side defence of the Storm, an area where Manly had some success last week. And the Raiders, in fact, scored all three of their tries down that side. And they opened the scoring through Simonson to go up 4-0. But you're right, former, 45 missed tackles by the Raiders. And that first half, they were starved of the ball. And if you give the Storm an inch, former, they'll take a mile. They're a good side, Melbourne.
She's not a bad sort. Yeah, that's the thing with the Storm, mate. If it's to win, especially for a team like the Raiders, who are tradesmen-like at the moment, they're not much more than that. They need to at least have 50% of the ball, which they didn't, and they also need to have less missed tackles than the Storm, which they didn't. So, Canberra's Corey Harawira-Naira has admitted he was disgusted at himself and shed tears after the game when he was sent off the field for a high hit on Jerome Hughes, which resulted in a grade 3 careless high tackle charge, which would normally carry and did carry a minimum of 6 weeks on the sidelines. Harawira Naira is unlikely to play again, which he won't this season unless the Raiders make the finals, after he was charged by the match review committee following his hit on Hughes. Following the incident, a clearly emotional Harawira Naira took to social media, which is the way you do apologise these days, Sid,
yep,
to post an apology, which was accepted by Hughes and Storm teammate Brendan Smith. The 26-year-old gets a discount for having a clean record over the past 7 years, not around schools, meaning he's facing 3 weeks out for an early plea and 4 weeks if he's found guilty at the judiciary.
Yeah, Raiders hooker Tom Starling also copped a stray knee to the face in this one, breaking his jaw. But with 12 minutes left on the clock, the Raiders were still in with a sniff, so he stayed on the field. He will be out for at least 3 weeks, they announced today, in a blow to the Raiders. But they should welcome back this guy for the next game against the Eagles.
Hey, Chance, Nickel Club Star, pronounce your name wrong all day. Hey, Chance, Nickel Club Star, Bossy says it the right way.
Nickel Club Star is there!
Been waiting weeks to use that one.
I'd like to say it's like a good bottle of wine, but the first game on Friday saw
better,
the Panthers
better than your songs, whatever.
easily account for the St. George Illawarra Dragons 34-16. The Panthers continue to go from to go on winning in businesslike fashion as they build momentum towards the finals. In this game, beating the Dragons comfortably in a 6-3 victory, the Panthers were dominant early in the second half, and a couple of tries in quick succession put the game beyond the Dragons' reach. St. George finished with a couple of late consolation tries, but were never really in the hunt after half-time, as Brent Naden, the hide-and-seek man, and Dylan Edwards finished with a double for the Panthers.
Yeah, they were just a class above the Dragons, who have dead set seen the walls cave in and the wheels fall off their season. With 5 losses in a row since Vaughnie's barbecue, it sees the Dragons sit on 18 points, which is the same as the Tigers. A tale of two different seasons there. They look like they would play semis a couple of months ago, but they're gone. Some great tries from the Panthers in this one as they ran riot in that first half. But what about Chinocchio? Clearly shoulder-charging Bird. He made no attempt at anything other than using his shoulder. And as much as I don't like the shoulder charge rule, it is a rule, or at least I thought it was. It's clearly not a rule anymore.
Dragons fans must look and wonder about players like Corey Norman, who's currently on $800,000 this season, and the departing Matt Dufty, who still can't even get a run at all. Corey Norman in particular was poor for the Dragons in this game and was guilty of gifting the Panthers 2 tries with intercept passes. But a ray of light for the Dragons was on show as Talatau Amon looked dangerous, showing up his expensive teammates, and that was despite the 19-year-old only playing 25 minutes, Sid. Amon set up a try for Jack Bird with some fancy footwork and an offload close to the line before scoring a try of his own with a great sidestep off his right foot and a show of strength. He finished the game with 6 tackles, a try assist, 34 running metres, 14 of those post-contact, a line break and 5 tackle busts in 25 minutes.
Yeah, he was enormous in this one. Former Amoni.
I'd like to say he was the same size last week, but I can't say that for sure.
Yeah, you can't say. You're not sure, are you? I can't even pronounce his name.
Never seen him.
It was a big difference I noticed between his play and Corey Norman. Obviously, besides the big contract differences, Amoni seems to realise that his team is playing in the white jerseys and the opposition is playing in the black jerseys, so he chose to pass just to white jersey players instead of gifting the Panthers 2 tries through intercepts.
Just an easy mistake, let's be fair.
Just a tip from old Sid Punce, who's played a bit of the game. Any young players out there, be less like Corey and be more like Amoni.
If Corey Norman is on 800 this year...
Yeah.
What's Sid Punt's worth if he made a comeback?
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what, I was going to get fit for the Olympics. I should have. Some ridiculous money getting thrown around in rugby league. He doesn't even know which team he's playing in.
The second game on Friday night saw the Broncos go down to the Roosters by 1 point, 21 points to 20. A controversial second half climaxed at the full-time whistle as the Roosters clawed their way to a one-point win against the Broncos. The lead switched one way and then the other in a drama-filled second half as the Broncos looked to be on their way to a massive upset victory with Selwyn Cobbo landing a penalty. Selwyn Cobbo. landing a penalty goal in the 76th minute. However, a successful captain's challenge from the Roosters, which I'm pretty sure you can't do, resulted in a shot at the post for Adam Kieran, and the centre went back and coolly slotted the penalty goal to steal a thrilling victory and a crucial one in the context of the season as they try to secure a top four spot on the ladder.
What a game of footy this was, former. I didn't expect it to be this close. It had a bomb try from Freddie Tedesco. Somehow the Roosters stopped a rampaging Payne Haas 3 millimetres from the line at one point. Then Haas scored a try when he squashed the ball on the line, nearly popping it. Broncos front rower Thomas Schmegma put a massive hit on Radley. There were some great tries. Then that ending with Radley taking out the knees of Albert Kelly and Thomas Schmegma again hitting Tupanua to give the Roosters a win. What a game of footy. It was epic.
As most people who listen to this show, Sid, will tell you, when Kevin Walters talks, we listen.
Sure do.
And on Friday night, he offered up his view of a controversial 77th-minute penalty that resulted in the Roosters' win. The penalty was on the back of a successful captain's challenge in which Broncos forward Tom Schmegler was deemed to have collected Satili Tupanua across the face with a high shot. After the match, Walters said he hadn't had time to digest it yet, but hinted it was a head-scratcher, saying, if that decides a grand final. But he said he had no issue with the call, conceding it was all part of the game. That's the way the game goes. Sometimes that's what I said to the boys. Footy can be cruel, but it can also be a great game sometimes. If you're sitting in the Rooster Sheds, you love the game. If you're sitting in ours at the moment, not so good. I don't think we were done it at all. No, the referees are there to adjudicate, and they adjudicated.
Wise words from the great man, Kevy Former.
He's up, he's down, he's left, he's right.
That summary of the game should instill great confidence in Brisbane players and supporters alike. He's right. It is a worry that a decision like that could turn a grand final. But I'm telling you, Kevy, it's not your worry.
It's not something you should lose too much sleep
over. No, go have a cup of tea and a lie down.
Saturday, and Saturday started with the South Sydney Rabbitohs, but in the Gold Coast, 36 points to 6. Gold Coast opportunity to shore up a top 8 spot, starting to look a little bit touch and go, sitters. Once again, they remain unable to beat a team in the top 8, being no match for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. With too many game winners in a host of positions, the Bunnies proved too smart and looked too assured in attack to be stopped. Once again, Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds steered the Bunnies around the park, and it became not much more than a training run for the boys from Redfern, who strolled to a comprehensive 30-point win on the Gold Coast. The Rabbitohs became the first team since the start of the game in 1908 to score 30 points in 8 consecutive games when Braden Burns crossed for his second try of the afternoon.
They just brained them, the Bunnies. 24-0, I think it was, at halftime. And it was all over for the Titans from there. The Titans, they do good things in patches, former, but then bad defensive decisions or drop balls just cruel them. And the Bunnies dominated them all over the park in this one. 14 errors and 33 missed tackles from the Titans saw the Bunnies run for 1,950 metres against the Titans, 1,300. And if
there's a stat in itself.
Yeah, if they are to play semis footy, the Tits will need to win two of their last three, and they're facing the Storm, Newcastle, who are above them on the ladder, and they can't seem to do that, and then they've got to beat the Warriors. They're no chance.
I of all the teams this year, there's been some very disappointing sides, and one of them is the Gold Coast, I've got to say.
Yeah. Even
no matter what happens from here on in, I think at the start of the year, the way they started and with the blokes they'd signed a monster forward back. I thought, mate, these blokes will be hard to stop. I thought they'd be top six cemented in, like no doubt whatsoever.
Yep.
And right now, I don't know that they will make the 8, mate.
Yeah,
like you said, they can't beat anyone in the 8. That's a problem in itself.
Yeah, I think they're just going to miss out. I don't think they can win all 3 of those. And I think there's other teams in and around 7 and 8 that have an easier draw. So I think they're gone.
Latrell Mitchell proved absolutely unstoppable against the Titans, who struggled to find a way to tackle the fullback playing centre. When they went low, he ran over the top of two defenders to score in the fourth minute of the game, his 10th try of the year. And when they went high, it allowed him to draw a couple of defenders, as he did, and he set the angry sandal Josh Mansour over for a try in the closing minutes of the game. Mitchell became the second man to score 7 tries in 7 straight games against the Gold Coast since the great man Manu Vadavai. With their last try of the game, the Rabbitohs broke their own club record for most points in a season, which was 687 in 2014, and now surpassed up to 688 in 2021 with 3 games to go.
And they've conceded 2 games, 50 points or more. It's just a strange, strange competition at the moment. There's got to be some asterisks on all these records. But out there in this one, it was men against boys. The Titans pinned the Bunnies down by their own line at one point, only for Latrell to get the ball and just run around them and over the top of them to run 70 metres downfield. Like you say, they just had no answer to him all day.
The second game on Saturday saw the North Queensland Cowboys not good enough against the West Tigers, going down 24 points to 16. Now, despite the Tigers doing almost everything they could to lose this game, somehow they hung on to secure their 8th win of the year and keep them in the hunt for 9th place. The Cowboys only had themselves to blame and guilty of a host of handling errors at pivotal moments and trod their own dicks when they had a chance to make a red-hot crack at the win. North Queensland's last tackle options were poor, Sid, all afternoon, and their attack was clunky as they failed to capitalise on the 8 errors, 4 penalties and 3 repeat sets conceded by the Tigers. The Tigers did all the damage early, leading 24 points to 6 with 15 to go, but then had to hang on for a nail-biting 8-point victory in a chaotic finish to the game.
Yeah, it was pink jerseys versus pink jerseys in this one. I'm not sure who's in charge of that at NRL headquarters.
Imagine how confused Corey Norman would have been.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Corey Norman would have thrown 18 intercepts in this game. Nah. While it was a close one in the end, the Tigers were good until 15 minutes to go. Now, I've been very critical of Far Ken Momolo since he came to us. He dead set has not looked interested, but he was pretty good last week and he was really good in this one. He came in and took the dirty carries on numerous occasions. The Cowboys' first try was just typical of West's. There were 2 kicks involved, one off the ground from Kyle Felt that flew into the arms of a Cowboy, and then Neem on debut throws a forward pass to fellow debutant, this guy. Now watch me whip, kill it. Now watch me nay-nay. Nay-nay scored. But a good win for the Tigers that nearly got away from us at the end, but we won.
I'm just writing down the term dirty meters. I really like that.
That's you like that? From yeah.
Me. Yep.
I'm going to trademark it.
Well, there hasn't been a lot to like about the Tigers season, with a number of players set to depart the scene at year's end, most of those being Judas Cleary's expensive signings.
Yes.
The one shining light has been the form of Adam Dewey. He kicked 4 goals in this game, actually proved to be important.
Yeah.
He also had 24 tackles, a try assist, he ran for 90 metres, he had a line break and 5 tackle busts.
Yeah, he's been enormous all year, this guy. I was also impressed with Utokamanu, who had a great game in this one. Madge McGuire said during the week, might have been yesterday on Triple M, that he has a 4-year plan and he's going to build the club around 7 players. They are Blore, Dane Laurie, Utokamanu, Tuilagi, Tommy Talau, Tuki Simpkins, Adam Dewey, not you, Luke Brooks. Madge, he actually didn't mention Luke Brooks. He rattled off 7 players. He'd be sitting there waiting. Is he going to say my name? He's going to say mine. No, he's not. Madge has a plan, Tigers fans. We'll be fine.
No McQueen. Wasn't.
No Packer. No Moses Mbai.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
The last game on Saturday, well, here we go again. Manly and Parra.
Yeah.
And Manly Seagulls fell over the line to beat the Parramatta Eels 56 points to 10. A simply stunning performance, Sid, from Manly saw them absolutely demolish an alleged finals rival, the Parramatta Eels, by 46 points. Manly were on top from the first whistle and were devastating in the first half, getting out to lead, and that's where they stayed. 5 tries in the last 22 minutes for Manly added even more gloss to the scoreline and just added more misery to the Eels fans, who look to be nothing more than passengers as we head into the finals. Manly won in a 10-2 exhibition, and they proved they were making a serious run for the premiership in 2021. Parramatta, on the other hand, also may have to finish the season without former Mensa student Ryan Madison after he was sent off for a shoulder hit that knocked out Manly centre Brad Parker.
Yeah, that was a brutal hit from Dum Dum that sees Hank Scorpio unlikely to play next week against Canberra. He's unlikely to even be able to watch that. He got poleaxed. But just to highlight how bad Para are going at the moment, Moses Sully was 18th man in this one. He was asleep in his car when Desi told him he had to go on the field, and he goes out there and scores 2 tries against an abysmal Parramatta side.
Is that the first time an 18th man has scored 2 tries? First question.
That's a good question.
And is it the first time a bloke's had to be woken up from the backseat of his car to come and play footy?
Let's get the stats man on the line. That's 2 interesting questions.
Parramatta coach Brad Arthur. Is about to face some extreme pressure as it seems the wheels have once again fallen off a premiership chance. The Eels slumped to their 4th straight loss and plummeted to 6th on the ladder. He wore the blame for his side's defeat to Manly as statisticians announced that the Eels have been outscored 124-22 in their past 3 starts.
Wow.
He just said, the defence and the scoreline, our start, we are all down to belief, he said. We are all down on belief, he said. We look like we are down on belief. We couldn't afford to start like that. A penalty, 2 tackles into the game, and then I just don't think we were calm. We were all jumpy. It wasn't a great start. It just snowballed out of control. We have to turn things around. We can and we need to, he said. The responsibility falls on my shoulders, and we will turn it around. Asked what needs to happen for the Eels to lift themselves out of that slump, Arthur mysteriously said, maybe we don't focus on footy this week.
Wow. He's bereft of answers. Write that down if you want to use that phrase as well.
We don't focus on footy this week.
Yeah.
Former Mensa student Ryan Madison said, I don't think that sounds right, man.
Well, it's now
it's not one of your best, I've got to be honest.
It's now been revealed by Paul Kent that the Eels players are fighting amongst themselves because some players have better hotel rooms than others in their hotel quarantine situation. So I've contacted this guy. I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man walking. I've contacted B. Arthur this week because he looks like he has no answers at the moment. And I've told him to fix the Eels, he needs to get all the players, wives, girlfriends, everyone in the one room, put all their keys in a bowl and just sort this out once and for all.
Sunday.
Yeah, what happened on Sunday?
Well, there was a lot of arguing about rooms at one hotel, but on the field, the Warriors were too good for the Bulldogs, winning 24-10. The Warriors were businesslike in getting the job done to win by 14 points, and it marked 3 straight wins for the Kiwi side, who cruised all afternoon on the back of starring displays from Reece Walsh and Josh Curran as they make a late charge for the semis. Unfortunately for the Bulldogs, they'll now be the holders of the wooden spoon after another loss, the club's 6th wooden spoon and the 1st since their salary cap scandal of 2008.
I actually went for the upset in this game to try and put myself in with a chance in the tipping comp, and I picked the Bulldogs.
What? What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Trent Barrett, here's a message for you, Trent. Your team is bad and you should feel bad. This was a shit game of footy. Congratulations to the Warriors. That's 3 wins in a row. But the Dogs are fucking rubbish. That's all I've got to say about it.
You backed them.
I know. What an idiot.
As New Zealand waved goodbye to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck last week, it'd be fair to wonder where their next superstar might be coming from. The obvious choice was new recruit Reece Walsh.
He's dreamy. He's dreamy, Reece Walsh.
Oh, what about the eyes? But Warriors back rower Josh Curran looks to also be a bit of a gun, and he kept his side's final hopes alive with a cracking game against the Dogs. Curran used his line running to great effect, breaking the line in his team's 1st try first set, scoring a try, setting up another, and finishing the match with three line breaks, 175 running metres and 43 tackles. Hopefully 2022 sees the Warriors able to base themselves at home and the Kiwi crowds can embrace a new breed of superstar.
Yeah, the only highlight out of this game was seeing Reece Walsh get interviewed afterwards and getting lost in his dreamy eyes. And the other good thing...
Straight to the wank
bank. The other good thing...
Jeez, my cat paid for it, I'll tell you.
The other good thing out of this game was when Warriors legend, another cracking sort, Josh Curran, sporting an absolutely magnificent mullet, had this to say at the end.
Yeah, obviously getting the win is always good, but full credit to the boys who came out there.
He's a keeper.
He's a good boy. And finally, on Sunday, well, talk about dour. The Newcastle Knights beat the Cronulla Sharks 16-14. In a close game all afternoon at Tedder, it turned out to be just the one penalty goal that separated the teams as Newcastle took the win over the Sharks by 2 points. Both teams had the lead at different stages and it could have gone either way, but the Knights hit the lead in the 73rd minute to triumph. The Newcastle have now made their way into the top eight with a vital win, while the Sharks are outside the eight and have it all to do in their final games to force their way up the ladder. They have a relatively easy draw, Sid, with the Bulldogs, Titans and Broncos.
Yeah, you would think with that draw, the Sharkies should sneak into the eight, delaying their holidays by a single week, but they... They've got to improve. Like with
where are they going to go, Sid? Where are they going
to
go?
That's a good point. With that draw, yeah, that puts more pressure on the Titans to try and sneak in. You'd think the Sharkies would take that spot. They let the Knights score within 36 seconds, though, after the Knights kicked off. It was bizarre scenes. A close game all afternoon, as neither side really deserved to win this one. It should have been a draw.
Yeah, I agree. Both sides will be left sweating on Monday's charge sheet after Barnett, high tackle, and David Clammer, crusher, were placed on report for the victors, while Braden Hamlin, Uali, and Britton Nakora, both dangerous contact, were cited for the Sharks. But the most important penalty of the day, Sid, was when Kalen Ponga was tackled off the ball late in the game that gave the Knights an easy goal. The Sharks' infringement, they were pinged for 9 penalties and won six again in total, proved the difference in a tense affair as Jake Clifford banged over the decisive penalty goal.
Yeah, the stats were very even in this one. Unsurprising. Both teams completed over 80%, with the Knights' completion at an impressive 86%. The Sharks made 10 more missed tackles, but it was the 9 penalties to 4 that saw referee Matt Chechen get the Knights over the line. I'm not suggesting match fixing. Perhaps you are. It sees the Knights leapfrog the Raiders and the Titans to jump into 7th place, a crucial win for them as they face the Dogs, Titans and Broncos, and they will seal 7th place. You heard it here first.
I tell you, just thinking about a end-of-season trip, Sid, and obviously they won't be on this year, especially overseas at least, spare a thought for those Bali security guards over there, probably breathing a nice sigh of relief as David Fifita stays at home. Yeah, new NRL news, and we start with a bit of a shit house story because Shark star Andrew Fifita is reportedly in an induced coma after being rushed to hospital in an ambulance on Sunday night. The club early confirmed the former New South Wales State of Origin star suffered a serious throat injury during his team's loss to Newcastle on Sunday. The 32-year-old had a heavy collision with Knights star Tyson Frizzell early in the second half, but it remains unclear if that contact is the one that caused the injury.
Yeah, it's very scary. In an induced coma, his family put out a statement saying thank you to all the well wishes, but it would be a tough time for his family, so we wish them all the best.
Yeah, a story you touched on before, NRL 360 co-host Paul Kent, that's right, Kent, has lifted the lid on a rift over the division of hotel rooms, which has caused fresh disharmony among the Parramatta squad. Kent, one of the great Kents, reported on NRL 360 on Fox Lead that when wives and girlfriends arrived in the Eels bubble, many were uncomfortable with the rooms they were allocated. According to Kent, the better rooms were given to players based on their standing in the squad rather than according to their needs. As a consequence, some single players were given better rooms despite larger families needing the space.
If they're getting rooms allocated on ability? Are they all in really shit-ass rooms with just a yoga mat on the floor? Because they're not in good form.
Just eating takeaway off a yoga mat.
I've already fixed this. I spoke to my mate and yours, Brad Arthur. And I think the keys in the bowl trick is going to do the job. You're an idiot.
The Courier Mail report the Broncos have slammed the door on the idea that Josh Maguire might return to the club before it properly got off the ground. Maguire is prone to controversy, most recently being one of the dozen Dragons players fined for attending the now infamous barbecue at Paul Vaughan's house. In blatant disregard of COVID rules. The Mail says the Broncos, led by CEO Dave Donaghy and head of football Ben Eichen, are wary of bringing anyone to the club who might attract scandal or negative headlines.
Yeah, they've never had a player up there that brings any disrepute to the club. It's not their go.
Not at all.
It's not their go, former. They're more about releasing players anyway nowadays, the Broncos. But Ben Eichen, please, brother, just listen to me for a minute. You had a cushy job on the telly talking to one of the great Kents, Paul Kent, and now look what you've got to put up with. Why, Benny? Why would you do it?
Reports on Thursday claim St George Illawarra is preparing to throw millions of dollars at Penrith back row star, the inside-out Ugboot, Viliami Kikau. Dragons coach Anthony Griffin was asked about it in his post-game press conference on Friday. He said, "Someone told me about the report. I thought he was happy at Penrith, and Penrith would be good to keep him. He's certainly someone we haven't made an offer for. We haven't discussed that."
Would the Panthers be propping up his contract? Because that's what Peter Griffin loves. Look, there's been a fair bit of criticism over Kikau's form of late former. Another flat-track bully, some people have been saying. I'm not. I'm scared of him. But at his best, he is unstoppable. But this is what's going to happen as the Panthers head towards yet another grand final loss. Their kids out there are going to be worth more and more money. And you can't keep them all, former. I know this from my time at West Tigers. You can't keep them all.
Matt Burton's manager, David Riolo, has rejected claims that he undersold the Penrith Panthers star to Canterbury Bulldogs for $1 million over 2 years.
You say manager in those inverted quote things. This was a bit of a cock-up, was it not?
Well, according to good league judges, Burton would be worth at least $700,000 a year or even $1.5 million over 2 seasons if he'd waited until now. "We're not bothered by that at all," Riolo said. "We know what we're doing. Matty's a young bloke playing super footy, and I don't want to interrupt anything while he's in a position to possibly win a comp or at least run second. We'll have a chat when the season's over about whether I should still be his manager."
It's going to be a tough talk, that one. Matt Burton.
Look over there. Don't look over here.
Matt Burton is playing some great footy at the moment, but just wait, former, till you see what he can do under the guiding light of Trent Barrett and then in Super League in 2 seasons' time.
Tigers alleged star Moses Mbai's contract.
Lay off Mbai. He's a good player. Good bloke.
It's over with the utility officially signing with the Dragons.
Yes!
Oh, it's a shame. After a reported bitter negotiation between the two clubs, Mbai's situation has finally been resolved. The 28-year-old has joined St George Illawarra on a 2-year deal beginning from the start of the 2022 season. It's reported last week that the deal was all but done, with an agreement for the Tigers to pay some of Mbai's wages for the next 2 years.
Yeah, there it is.
The 27-year-old, hang on, in 2 cents he's gone from 28 to 27.
Staff writers. Come on, staff writers, get your shit together.
The 27-year-old now is on $900,000 a season, has previously indicated he is open to a switch after standing down from the captaincy and finding himself in different positions during the year.
Yeah, he's been very gracious. He put out a statement today thanking the club, saying he wished he could be better. We all wish he could have been better, especially at 900 large a year. But here goes Peter Griffin yet again taking on a player where another club is paying him to play over there. That's the only way I'd play for St George if two clubs were paying me.
It was a really nice speech that Moses Mbai stole off Josh Reynolds.
It's rehashed. Our CEO just prints them off now. Says, say this.
After a career spanning over 300 games, two NRL premierships, two State of Origin series, a Rugby League World Cup, and two interviews with Full Credit of the Boys, one on a live show and one on a pre-recorded show, yep. James Maloney will call it a day at the end of 2021. The 35-year-old plies his trade with the Catalan Dragons in France in the Super League and hopes to add one more trophy to his already bursting cabinet before hanging up the boots for good. The time has come to hang up the boots, he said, from professional footy. It's been one hell of a ride and I've loved every minute. Thanks to everyone who's played a part in my career. That's okay. Along the way, most importantly, my beautiful wife, Jess, who's been there from the start.
Wait, is that it?
Didn't mention us at all.
Oh, I thought, did you turn the page over? Surely we get a mention.
Well, go through it again.
Yeah, have another look while I talk bullshit.
Maloney said, hell of a ride.
For all the things.
Everyone who's played a part in my career.
You'd think it'd be in there beautiful, somewhere.
Beautiful wife, Jess.
Even after beautiful, I thought I was a stab.
I'd say staff writers has fucked that
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Well, everything that he achieved in the game, and it was a lot. I think anyone that was at that very first Full Credit to the Boys live show at Penthurst Pub
will remember a very regrettable incident.
They'll remember it better than you or I would because we'd had a few and we just went through my phone and started ringing celebrities and he was the only idiot that picked up.
For the heavyweight championship of the world. Sports news.
Even to this day, the thought of that gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I know it does. That's why I love bringing it up.
AFL, hashtag talk other games down. Despite resting Buddy Frankfurt, the Battlers Princes, the Sydney Swans, beat the North Melbourne Wombats by one straight kick and eight sprayed kicks. Meanwhile, the AFL money pit, the GWS Capstock Giants, ended the reigning premiers, the Richmond West Tigers year, by six straight kicks and four Tom Deerens.
Yeah, well, even though Buddy Frankfurt rested in this game, I spoke to John Longmire earlier today. He is reluctant to rest any more players for next week's clash against the Gold Coast Rollers. He told me that the Frankfurt, Jake Lloyd, Callum Murray will all play next week. And here's a scoop for everyone. Chad Warner will also get a call up. Not many people are aware of that. You heard it here first.
I certainly wasn't.
Yeah. Well, the Swans will play finals whether they win or lose this week. But the GWS Caps Lock Giants will need to win to secure their spot when they go up against the Carlton Drafts at Marvel Stadium on Saturday. And I'm telling you what, I cannot wait for that one.
Rugby, hashtag talk other games down. The Wallabies coach, the Heartburn tablet, Dave Rennie, was left rueing how poorly his team played in the second half against in their 57-22 loss at Eden Park on Saturday night.
How was this a surprise to the Heartburn tablet that we were going to play shit? What an idiot!
No, he said he was surprised it was so close for so long, he said. He thought at kickoff to be at nil all was an amazing achievement. It was a tight first half in Bledisloe 2 with the All Blacks up 21-15 at the break. But over the next 40 minutes, the Wallabies made numerous mistakes, including running out onto the field as New Zealand ran away with it to score the most points they have ever against Australia in a test. We were well beaten and well beaten because we didn't treasure the ball enough, the Heartburn tablet said.
Yeah, he sounds defeated, the Heartburn tablet. It would... Yeah, it'd give you heartburn. Imagine being the coach of that mob. We haven't won at Eden Park since like 1927. But geez, we went close in this one. 57-22. What a joke. Nobody even turned up to the ground. It was shit.
Well, they asked the Heartburn tablet after the game. They said, what are you going to do different this week to try and get the boys back on track? And he said, well, we're not going to look at footy. Yeah. We're not looking.
Good idea.
Olympics, North Korea. Aired its first Tokyo Olympics broadcast a whole 2 days after the closing ceremony. The delayed Tokyo 2020 games came to an end last Sunday with a spectacular closing ceremony at the Olympic Stadium. But the government in Pyongyang in North Korea have only just begun broadcasting events from the tournament, The Sun reports. Geez, you'd like to get a bet on with North Korean arm of Bluebet, Kim Jong Bet. According to Yon Hap, the socialist regime's first broadcast of the games was the women's match between Britain and Chile. That match, which Team Great Britain comfortably won 2-0, originally took place 3 weeks ago. Specialist North Korean website NK News, a good site too, I've got to say, claims the game was aired without any commentary and in a low resolution. Residents in North Korea would have had no knowledge of the games as they aren't permitted access to the internet or to watch international TV channels. And in fact, someone has recorded this on a Betamax and jammed it into the video for everyone to watch over the country this week.
Yeah, that'd be amazing watching that footage of North Korean athletes winning gold in the pool and then getting up on the podium in their Australia tracksuits. Seeing Kim Jong-un
score a goal in the soccer, Brazil versus Argentina. Fat little fuck scored a fucking goal. Who knows how?
I can't believe, I bet.
Superimposed green screen magic show.
Can't believe I had a bet on Brazil versus Argentina and somehow I lost because North Korea won. It's filthy, but it's just my luck.
And I think he took gold in the golf because he had 19 holes in one.
Oh, he was $1 at the golf. He's so good at it.
Gymnastics. Much like you at school, Sid, Russia has a bitter taste in its mouth after ending the Olympics on a sour note. Technically, the country itself was banned from the Games and its athletes competed as part of the Russian Olympic Committee, the ROC.
Rock.
Yeah. The ROC, I love The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, came in fifth on the medal tally with 20 golds just ahead of Australia, who had 17. America topped the list with 39, while China was second with 38. However, the fifth place didn't satisfy everyone back home, sparking accusations the Olympics were rigged against Russia, who weren't there, but Rock were. At the heart of the complaints was controversy surrounding three-time rhythmic gymnasts world champion Dina Avarina. That's right. It's Tina Arena's sister, who won silver behind Israel's Linoy Ashram in the women's all-round event. Russia officially protested the result, even though they weren't there, alleging biased judging was responsible for an injustice. Ashram dropped her rhythm as her routine ended, which resulted in the Russian outcry. Ironically, Avarina won gold at the 2018 World Championships after also dropping her ribbon.
I don't think you should be able to win if you drop your ribbon.
No,
I was in a talent quest in 1986 and the chick up against us was a baton twirler and she dropped it three times and I've never, ever gotten over it. So I'm actually on Russia's side.
Well, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zarakova said the Tokyo judges committed fraud in front of the whole world. After hoping China would reign supreme on top of the medal tally ahead of the US, a prophecy that didn't eventuate, Deputy Speaker of the Russian Duma Pyotr Tolstoy called Americans moral freaks. Thank you. Ryan Murphy, who won the bronze in the men's 100-metre backstroke and silver in the 200-metre backstroke, launched a grenade at the Russian Evgeny Rylov, who won gold in both those events, saying, "I'm swimming in a race that's probably not clean."
Whoa.
Fellow swimmer Lily King backed up her compatriot. "There are a lot of people here that should not be here," she said on her way home from Tokyo, because she wouldn't say it while she was there because she's a coward.
Well, as you say, it's a bit of a Clayton's band former. The Russian drug cheats are banned, but they still compete under a different name, but still doped up to their eyeballs. Maybe, actually, I don't know. Sorry, Vladimir. I don't...
Have some tea. Drink some tea. Here, tea. Here's have some tea. It's Mr. Putin's favourite tea. You drink this one.
No. They was robbed. It's fraud. But I can't believe they're banned because of drugs, but they still turn up in a different name. It's like when Brandon Pearson was playing for Wests and he got busted taking drugs. So he just changed his name to Brandon Costin and went and played for the Roosters. Remember that? True story. Google that.
Don't look over here. Look over at the Roosters.
Brandon? Different one. Swear.
Brendan, you idiot. Tennis and Jesus. Australian tennis great Margaret Court is at the centre of fresh controversy after her Perth-based church reportedly received more than $500,000 in JobKeeper payments since last year.
Wow.
as first revealed by The Guardian, Victory Life Centre received more than $280,000 between April and June last year, despite its revenue barely decreasing. Religious institutions were at the time entitled to one $1,500 JobKeeper payment per fortnight for each eligible employee whose revenue fell by more than 15%. Victory Life Centre Treasurer James Chan and the Chan clan told The Guardian the church was in total received more than $500,000 in JobKeeper. Mr. Chan and the Chan clan also claimed the church's revenue dropped 17% in the month of April, which made them eligible for JobKeeper. Without JobKeeper, we would just have broken even, he said. We are very grateful to the government and to ScoMo. Victory Life Centre received the JobKeeper payments after telling followers they didn't need to worry about the coronavirus pandemic because the blood of Jesus would protect them, said.
Yeah, look, this is fair enough, former. Without JobKeeper, the church would have only broken even. What the actual? What? What a disgrace. I was so incensed when I read this. I reached out to the Prime Minister's office as to why a church should get money when businesses are going to the wall, but all they sent me was a link to a Hillsong video where ScoMo was chatting to Brian Houston. Ah, it's outrageous.
I'm sure he was crying while he's talking to Brian. Motorbikes. Yamaha MotoGP rider Maverick Vinales was suspended
sick,
and withdrawn.
Sick name.
Oh, mate, there's so many good names in MotoGP. Was suspended and withdrawn from last weekend's Austrian Grand Prix for trying to deliberately damage his bike's engine in the Styrian Grand Prix the week before. Following last Sunday's race at the Red Bull Ring, in which Vinales entered the pit lane before the end of the final lap after his bike's display showed pit lane, Vinales said he was having a great time in the first race before it was red flagged. But after the red flag and upon return to the pits, things changed for the number 12 rider, who was terminated the rest of the year of his contract with Yamaha. They stopped the race, we pitted, they changed my clutch and tyre. It was a completely different story, he said. The rider's father went further on Sunday and made accusations of Yamaha sabotaging his son's bike in a social media post. He said, "The silence is over. What happened today is shameful. Doing these things to a rider because he is leaving," wrote Angel Vinales. Yamaha issued a harsh statement on Thursday, suspending the rider for his weekend's race in Austria and accusing him of trying to ruin the bike. Autosport can report the team claims that Vinales tried to overhead rev his M1 engine on the way into the pit lane when he entered the garage lane at the end of the second race without crossing the finish line.
Ooh, a bit of a scandal at the motorbike racing. Now, I'm not one for motorsports former. I've got to be honest. I didn't understand a lot of that. You kind of lost me when you said, motorbikes.
Swimming. You're back.
Yeah.
Team Great Britain are on the verge of losing their silver medal from the 4x100 relay because CJ Ujar has been provisionally suspended for an anti-doping violation after testing positive for two banned substances. The 27-year-old ran the first leg of the final in which the Brits came agonisingly close to winning the gold at the 2020 Olympics, which was held in 2021, but were pipped on the line by Italy, who took gold. Ujar is one of many athletes found to have breached anti-doping rules at Tokyo 2020 with Bahrain's middle distance runner, Sadiq Makul, Georgian shot putter Benik Abrimayan and Kenyan sprinter Mark Otieno Odhiambo. I wouldn't think so. Also under investigation. Should Team Great Britain lose their silver medal, it will be handed to third place Canada, while fourth place China will be upgraded to bronze. If Team GB lose that men's 4x100-metre relay silver medal, their much-trumpeted achievement in matching the 65 medals of London 2012 will be no more.
Yeah, poor old CJ Ujar, the piss testers said to him, "Ujar's full of steroids." But this happens every 4 years, former. We watch the Olympics. It's all exciting. Then in the months and years that follow, we realise it was all an illusion. All the competitors were drugged up and cheating. Not you, Russia. Not you, Vladimir. You guys were wrong.
Apparently, the piss tester said to CJ Ujar, "You've just drilled a hole through your Ujar." Rugby. A 15-year-old boy has been charged with the attempted murder of a Wallabies and Queensland Reds legend following an alleged frenzied stabbing attack in Brisbane. Totai Kefu, who earned 60 caps for Australia and played the 1999 World Cup winning rugby team, was left fighting for his life after three people allegedly broke into his Kupuru home at 3 a.m. Police alleged the trio were armed with knives, a machete and an axe, all of which were used during the attack. One boy, 15, was apprehended by neighbours at the scene and taken into custody.
Yeah.
That's terrible. It is. That's a shocker, mate.
Yep. I've got nothing more to say about that.
No, I hope he's okay. Yeah. I hope he pulls through, but Jesus Christ, that's shocking. Horrible.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, with the thanks to the greatest electrical company in all of the world, it's time for the number one podcasting segment in all the world. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Yeah, it's time for Grabber Mirrors. Don't forget, I put out a tweet every Tuesday morning around 7:30. Use the hashtag Grabber Mirror or hashtag GAM. I also put out another tweet around 3 o'clock. Same thing. Use the hashtag Grabber Mirror, hashtag GAM. We do the top 10 and the top 10 only. Might have been top 5 this week.
There weren't many takers?
No, there weren't many. How many times can you write about lock-in in your Grabber Mirrors?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Again, thanks to the boys at NDF Electrical. It's the only electrical company we use when we're installing hydroponics kits in Sid's roof.
Shut up, mate.
Don't look over there. Look over here.
No.
Oh, no. Always get that wrong when the police are in.
You've done it wrong, you dog. Give up.
Don't look over here. Job with you. Look over there. Sorry.
That's it. Yeah. And I don't know that guy. You're hopeless.
What's a hydroponics kit? What's marijuana? Anyway, I wouldn't mind going first, Sid.
Yeah, go first.
Grab a mirror, pommy blokes.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, we'll just land it there, eh?
Yep, their teeth and everything.
Yeah.
Well, that was this week's Grab a Mirror.
Sid, ever since the Barmy Army started coming over to Australia with the pommy cricket team for the Ashes, we've bore witness to just how bad British blokes are handling piss, handling drugs, and singing for that matter. But now 9 British blokes have told The Sun in England over the past 5 years the erectile dysfunctional drug Viagra has left them with a number of problems, including hearing problems. Now, the hearing side effects has also been experienced by the late Hugh Hefner, who actually said he would rather have sex than have his hearing. Fair enough. I think he said, I'd rather have sex than have an earring, but whatever.
Yeah, I couldn't hear what he said.
But a bunch of other pommies have now come out with their own complaints about Viagra. Shut up, mate. Now, one Brit, Dick Wright, reported having a permanent kink in his penis after taking the little blue pill. Another guy, Richard Short, deliberately took too much of the drug in a bid to impress his new girlfriend with his sexual prowess in 2013, according to reports, and ended up having to have his penis amputated.
Whoa.
Ooh, Jesus.
Still worth it.
Better than losing your hearing or something. Electrician Mike Oxard suffered a month-long erection after taking Viagra in 2019. Aged just 26 at the time, Mike ended up needing an operation on his penis, and when surgery failed, doctors spent 3 days trying to find a solution until he went flaccid naturally, but since then he's been left unable to get an erection. But he said, there's no point in me being depressed about what's happened. He said, I had a good run. You were 26, mate.
Wow.
You haven't even touched the sides. Well, you probably have, but that's... Anyway, But some blokes decided to roll the dice and buy Viagra online, Sid, some of those generic brands, and have reported even stranger symptoms. Randy Dix was 21 when he decided to give the pills a go while out on the pool in Manchester. Within an hour of taking the pill, he said, "My vision started going green," he said. "It's like someone had put a filter on everything. Everything looked blurry too, and despite the drug working, it felt like someone had kicked me hard in the groin." People pay for that, Sid. After having sex three times with someone he met that night, he spent the next day suffering with flu-like symptoms and tonguing for a bat. But one...
Say, the chick he was rooting would look green, like the chick out of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly right.
That'd be sick.
I've done worse.
I wouldn't even be mad.
One Viagra-related incident, Sid, is the strangest of the lot, according to The Sun. A tourist was said to have gone on a naked rampage through a Thai airport after taking too many of the pills in 2018. Birmingham plumber Steve Chode was said to have terrified other holiday makers as he ran around Phuket Airport departures terminal with an absolute roaring hard-on in the nude and even started throwing feces at staff.
Yeah, sick.
The man... naked, was later said to have told officers who ended up arresting him after his one-man riot that he'd taken too many sex drugs, and he apologised for the outburst, agreeing to pay for damages and apologising to the Kingdom of Thailand. A statement from Phuket International Airport said Chode admitted taking too many Viagra drugs. He said all he wanted to do was stay in Thailand, to which local authorities remarkably agreed after he went to court, giving Steve a free cut and tuck, and now he does the midday ping pong show at Madame Flim Flam's Ladyboy nightclub and laundromat in Phuket. So grab a mirror, Pommy blokes. Stick to soccer and dentistry and probably kissing your mum. And leave the sex and drugs to experts like Aussie's former underscore legend, and that's Sid Punt's all one word.
10.
At Cricket Flog, grab a mirror, the moron from Victoria, who replied to former legend's viral cricket COVID tweet with, "Nah, mate, it's footy season down here." Cricket Vlog wrote, "Is it, mate? Thanks, mate. We never knew that. Hashtag half-baked. Hashtag build a wall."
Yeah, Twitter's getting a bit more like Facebook in this lockdown. It's getting a bit hard to take at the moment.
9.
At Baxter157 says, hashtag grab a mirror, James Maloney, you magnificent bastard.
Yeah.
In an absolute tribute to your stellar career, I'm going to barbecue alone tonight.
Good work.
8.
At Yatta Yee, grab a mirror, the magnificent bastard that's now coined the term, it's a quarter to Gladys, meaning it's 10:45 a.m. Hashtag the new beer o'clock.
7.
At MGraz2005, grab a mirror, Justin Pascoe, West Tigers, put him in it. I don't care how you dress or your 90s rave hairdo, but you now have one last chance to impress us with how you spend Mbaye's money for 22-23. Don't fuck it up or you'll get the full support of the board. Hashtag drugs are bad. Hashtag itchy skin.
That's a good point. Although half of Mbaye's wage...
it's still coming from us.
Yeah, we'll still pay it to St. George. But, gee, you look good, Pascoe, this week. He's got a bit of an orange tinge in his hair and a bit of an undercut.
Looks like Chris Lilly.
Yeah, he looks sick.
Obviously without the blackface, but whatever.
6.
At Galpo78 says, hashtag grab a mirror at Charlie Caslick. You know who that is?
No.
Have a quick look at that while I read you this tweet.
Okay.
You magnificent Sheila. Your bikini-clad skipping rope workouts on Instagram at Howard Springs post-Olympics were very entertaining. Hashtag jump rope for heart. Hashtag jump rope for hard. Hashtag jump rope for jack sock.
I will be Googling that later. Don't worry about that.
5.
At Two Flies Punting. Hashtag grab a mirror at Anthony Griffin. And then you put in brackets, it's not the right one. Hook, just because you coach guys in under 20s who were guns doesn't mean they can still play. Hashtag looking at you, Corey. It's like marrying the first bird you get to stick it into because how could it get any better? Hashtag that's what I did. Hashtag does it.
I'm leaving that one alone.
4.
At Dingo H2. Grab a mirror, everyone locked in at home, who couldn't come up with a grab a mirror this week. I just saw only 9 others submitted. So if this shitty one can get through, think of what you could have done.
Hashtag, and it did.
Hashtag, I am not funny.
Who was that?
At Dingo H2.
The Dingo ate your baby.
Yeah, good work, Dingo, keeping this segment alive. God damn you. Could I have a go now?
Yeah, have a trot.
As you said, it's pretty hard coming up with these when we're all locked in, but something that caught my attention during the week, it was International Female Orgasm Day last week, former.
All right.
Should be every day. Am I right, ladies? Am I
they
right?
Don't even have them. What are you talking about?
Well, I thought you would say that. I hope you celebrated it accordingly, former. But yep, I saw an article last week that said, if you believe in star signs and you believe in female orgasms, which I know you don't.
bigger chance of believing in star signs, I've got to be honest.
Well, staff writers at the Daily Star had the perfect sex positions for you to use on International Female Orgasm Day.
All right.
To get you ladies across the line. So grab a mirror, ladies, check out your bits, and let me tell you which sex positions are best for you due to your star signs. I don't know. I can't believe it either. But anyway.
Here we go.
Aries, the splitting bamboo.
All right.
Yeah, the splitting bamboo adds a twist to the classic missionary, place one leg over your partner's shoulder to allow for a deeper physical connection. Probably not good for you, former, because of your knees and because you actually need a woman to willingly participate in that one. But
you just let some air out of her. It's fine.
Taurus, their advice, just try and find the Clint Taurus. Gemini, the best positions for you are the standing ovation. Wow.
I usually get that as I leave.
You certainly do.
See you, mate. Thank fuck for that.
Or the T-bone. I learned a lot this afternoon. Now, the standing ovation is not what you think it is. It's a versatile position that can be taken anywhere from the shower to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And the T-bone is another great pick.
That's what you prepare in the kitchen.
It's being renowned. The standing ovation. You take her in the kitchen, the T-bone, you point out what you want for dinner.
And then clap her along.
Cancer. Are you a Cancerian former? Because nah. For cancer, it just says doggy style.
I don't get it.
Leo, the heavyweight.
Oh, the bull.
Why would any bloke come up with the name the heavyweight for a sex position? So, hey, love, let's try out the heavyweight. What are you saying? Wow.
grab a 20-piece feed. I'll have a crack.
Virgo, here's one for you, former.
Ah, oh, the lion.
Missionary. Virgo's not the lion, you idiot.
Oh, that's right. It's the fish.
Anyway. Libra, it just says 69.
Oh, the tampon.
69. Scorpio, it says the butter churner, which is not what you think it is.
Oh, is that a different variation of the sour cream chucker?
The cat dodger.
Oh, mate, and long hair and that sort of stuff. Trying to get that shit out before the missus gets home. No good.
Sagittarius said reverse cowgirl or the octopus. I had to look that one up. Go and Google that.
What's the octopus?
Just go and Google it. It's too hard.
You told
to explain
me you like the screaming seagull. What's that?
You're a Google fan that. Of the, you're a fan of the cross-country skier as well, I've heard.
That's how you speak year 12.
Detention again.
Oh, skiing again.
Anyway,
when are we going to the snow? Just keep practicing.
Every Friday afternoon practicing. I've never seen the snow. That's a joke.
We're back into spring again.
Anyway, let's wrap this up. Capricorn had the spork and Aquarius.
The fish.
Aquarius had the corkscrew.
Oh, the twins.
But anyway, so grab a mirror, everyone. These international days are dead set getting out of control. First, it was that fucking made up one, International What Are You Wearing Day. Very, very successful for 2 years. International Diarrhea Day now runs for 2 days. And now this. This is getting ridiculous. Grab a mirror, everyone.
Three. At Biggest Faloo. Somehow this bloke has turned. You'll see.
Okay.
Hashtag grab a mirror. My mum. She passed away last Tuesday morning. Just so you couldn't have to fill out, so you didn't have to fill out the census. What I'll do now for hashtag grab a mirror entries with no aged care centre Easter egg hunt or Mother's Day presents from the servo stories to share. Hashtag lifelong Souths fan. Hashtag Valet Joan. Hashtag cheers.
Valet Joan.
Two. At TD Wilso 92. Grab a mirror Delta. Canberra's boring enough as it is without being able to go outside. Hashtag spare me.
Jeez, they must be doing it tough down there. Can't even go in a Kuma for a good night. What are we up to? Two?
Last one.
Oh, last one. Here we go.
One.
What did you rate number one out of the 10 entries that we had?
At blocked user 2217. Hashtag Grera Mirror at Gladys B. Put her in it. You've become much like the type of stripper that works at the same venue for far too long. Still very handsome, but the G-string has lost its elastic, and we've seen that tired cherry pie routine a million times before. Hashtag expiry date. Hashtag need some fresher girls on stage.
I'm starting to get Stockholm syndrome. She's got me caught at home, but I keep looking at her thinking, well, I think I would now. Would I? I'm pretty sure I would.
Jeez, you've jumped off the palaszczuk onto the barbecue chook.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world better
place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Go to metinc.com.au.
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens Night coming up? Mayor Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made T-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mayorinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mayor Inc. has you covered.
Go to
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yes, every week we preview the upcoming round. We get this bloke on. He is our friend from bluebet.com.au. It's Duncan McRae. How are you, champion?
Former, I'm well, thank you. I hope all the lunatic listeners are out there well in Larry lockdown and mate, not much doing except watching the footy and punting for Australia. So it's all good, mate.
I have topped up my account 4 times. You are dead set. You'll retire on what I've just handed you out. Mate, let's look at Thursday night, and it's the Gold Coast Titans take on the Melbourne Storm. It's at the Ring of Steel Stadium. It's the Titans $7, the Melbourne Storm are $1.10. Handicaps at 20.5 to the Titans, obviously. $1.90, take your pick with bluebet.com.au. Dunks, the Melbourne Storm ripe for the picking?
No, they're not, former. I don't think they are. You know, they Pappenhausen moves to fullback and they Nicho Hynes into the halves. So obviously, with Jerome Hughes and Justin Ollam out this weekend, the Gold Coast. Well, I thought they'd be a bit more competitive against the Bunnies. So I just think the Storm will just be too good for them. They're too clinical. You know, the Gold Coast. I thought this is their chance to knock them off, but will they? I highly doubt that.
I'm the same, mate. Jesus, there was not a lot to like against the Bunnies. They curled their toes up very early for mine, and I will not be having a cent on the Gold Coast in any form, straight out, starts, whatever you want, no chance. The first game on Friday sees the Raiders take on the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles. It's the Raiders at $4. It's the Seagulls at $1.25. Handicaps at 14.5 with bluebet.com.au. Dunks, is Turbo Tommy back in?
Well, everyone says he's playing, don't they? I think they would tell us if he wasn't, so I'm expecting him to play. But obviously, you have to keep an eye on the punters out there on what happens there in regards to the price. But no matter what happens, they should win. These Seagulls, they're high-flying. The Raiders, they're competitive. They work hard, but they just don't have the class anymore. Yeah. The Eagles are just too good, and they'll win and win easily.
Yeah, I'll have the same. I'll go the same way, mate. I can't see the Raiders upsetting the Seagulls, and they are on a bit of a roll and could be the danger side amongst the semi-finals. The Panthers, well, this will be a big game. It's Friday night. It's probably the game we should all be looking forward to on lockdown. It's the Panthers taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs are $2.15. The Panthers are $1.70. It's at Snap Lockdown Oval. Handicaps just 2.5 with bluebet.com.au. Mate, will you be backing your team?
Well, I am, former, and I'm pumped up for this game. Obviously, we go back to that. Was it 58-0 we lost out there at Mudgee or Bathurst or somewhere? Dubbo?
Parks,
wherever it was, out west Olga. Somewhere. But this is the game the Bunnies have been waiting for. They're on a winning streak. Penrith towed us up last time. We're probably going to play them 2v3 in a couple of weeks. So this is a statement game. I think Wayne's going to be winding the boys up and saying, well, it's time, boys. And, you know, I was really right about Nathan Cleary. He didn't look comfortable last week. So, obviously got that one right, Dunkey boy. He looked magnificent, and they're a different team with him in there. But I think it'll be a tight one. Can't wait for it, but go the Bunnies.
Well, you landed 8 from 8 last week, mate, so it wasn't the only thing you got right. I'll back the Panthers with no certainty whatsoever. The first game, well, this is the game everyone's been talking about all week. It's the West Tigers taking on the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. It's up there at Double Donut Day Oval. The Tigers are $2.40. The Cronulla Sutherland Sharks are $1.55. Jesus wept. Handicaps 4.5 with the Tigers with bluebet.com.au. Dunks, I know that you said you were very keen on the Tigers this week.
Well, to lose, yes, I am very keen on the Tigers to lose. Yeah, I'm keen on the Sharks here, especially at the line. Look, the Tigers are competitive. They try hard, but they're going as good as, you know, the Donald Ducks that Michael Maguire puts on Tiger Town. So very keen on the Sharks here. Sorry, former.
Plus or minus 55 fucks in the coach's box by halftime.
It was like a parent dying when the South try got awarded.
What it is to be a coach. I'll back the Tigers. No, I won't. I'll back the Sharks. The second game on Saturday sees the Bulldogs. Well, they're talking about going well. They're taking on the Knights. The Dogs are $5. You can have that with me. The Knights are $1.15. The handicap's at 16.5. Take your pick with Bluebet, $1.90. Mate, not a chance, is there?
Oh, well, they welcome back Kyle Flanagan. So let's look at that for a...
The 12th immortal.
Oh, how bad are the Bulldogs, mate? I don't think I've seen a worse side. I've got to be honest with you.
I was just talking to a bloke who was a dyed-in-the-walls Bulldog fan, and he said, if you had told me this time last year that where we'd be right now with the signings we had compared to last year, he said, I'd tell you you're joking. He said, but Trent Barrett brings a set of pretty eyes, and that's about it. Might be about it.
I thought Ryan James was their best player last week, to be quite honest with you.
And that's frightening.
That's not a gig. I thought he played pretty well. I thought Horsburgh provided a bit of something off the bench. I've whoever's in charge of recruitment at the Doggies, oh my gosh. I don't know what to say. I'll just say the Knights will win and win easily.
I thought it was a bit rich that Ryan James kissed the badge at the end of the game. yeah, you couldn't back the Dogs, surely. The Eels take on the Cowboys, and I tell you what, talk about two teams going badly. The Parramatta Eels are $1.29. The North Queensland Cowboys are at $3.55. It's up there at Community Transmission Ground. Handicaps 10.5. Take your pick with Bluebet, $1.90. Mate, it's just look on, isn't it? You wouldn't be brave enough to have a bet in this game.
Well, what do you do here? You got you look at the teams, you think, well, Parramatta just win easily, but what's going on there? The media reports coming out, the camps are not happy about the size of their balconies. And I, you know, can you believe Jake Granville plays in the centres now? Oh, if I'd have told you that 6 months ago, I don't know what to say here. I am baffled by these both teams and both coaches, but I've got to tip the Eels, but with no confidence.
No, it could be nil all this game, to be fair. Brad Arthur, I tell you what, if there's not a bloke looking for cardboard boxes right now, he is in all sorts. Clear the office, Brad. Yeah, well, I'll back the Eels only because they got more to play for, I guess. I don't know, mate. They have plummeted. The Eels, that's it. Sunday, the St. George Illawarra Dragons take on the Sydney Roosters. And I tell you what, if there's an award for heart, the Roosters get it every week. The Dragons are $3.80. The Roosters are $1.26. Handicap's 12.5 at $1.90 with bluebet.com.au. Dunks, again, the Roosters, just unbelievable.
Absolutely, former. You nailed on the head. Their competitive nature that the coach has instilled them is amazing.
Is he coach of the year?
Well, I think he is. Yes, absolutely. It would, you know, with all these injuries, if you sit back and look, well, you know, without knowing the results, you'd say, oh, maybe eighth, ninth, tenth, still sitting in the top four.
And fair dinkum, you'd be fair enough. You said if they curled their toes up and said, nah, no more, you would have said, well, fair enough, I suppose.
Yeah, amazing, and so much to look forward for the Roosters. Tedesco's incredible. He's just carrying that team. Him and Manu are playing so well with the way Hargraves. But it all depends on the score here on if Corey Norman is going to assist the other team in tries per half. What's the unders or overs? Two per half?
Is there a bloke on – no, I shouldn't –
How does he get picked for, mate? How does he get picked?
Mate, how does he get 800? More importantly,
his manager, he should be building a statue of him at his house.
I think he's built a wing. Yeah, you just couldn't back the Dragons. They're not much good either, I tell you. And there's a team just looking for the season to end. The Roosters, like I said, never been a big fan of them as a club, but Jesus, they've shown a lot of heart this year, more heart than I probably thought they had. And they'll win this and win it pretty easy, I reckon. And the final game sees the Brisbane Broncos take on the New Zealand Warriors. Well, it's $1.95, the Broncos, $1.85, the Warriors. Handicap, well, we haven't got it set yet, but I reckon it'll be about 0.5 to the Broncos. Take your pick, $1.90 with bluebet.com.au. Well, mate, this could be a draw, couldn't it?
Who knows, former, good call, but I'm going to tip the Broncos here. I thought, you know, the Warriors are okay. Broncos are awful, so we're coming off a low base here, great man. So only for the fact that they're slightly outsiders, I'm going to tip the Broncos.
Yeah, I think of the same, mate. I've actually been slightly impressed by the Broncos in the last couple of weeks. They haven't been horrible, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And the Warriors, well, I think they're just probably counting down the days until they might be able to go home again. So, yeah, I'll back the Broncos again with no certainty whatsoever. Mate, has there been any big market moves this week? Are we jumping on the Manly train just yet?
Oh, well, former, they continue to firm, don't they, in the premiership market, and the Tigers go the other way. It's really, you know, the Storm just tighten up every week. They're closer to a loss. I think the Panthers-Rabbitohs game this week will determine the market on how it goes going forward and what happens. I know everyone's going to think there's a bigger game for South than it is for Penrith, in my opinion, former. I think the Bunnies need to make a statement here after they got hammered last time. You know, the Storm, 220 to win the comp, 380 the Panthers, $5 the Bunnies, and the Eagles are at $9. You'd have to say Roosters at $17 and forget everyone else. So
yeah, what about the Eels? Dropped to $51 to win the comp. They were running third there a couple of weeks ago. That is just a fall from grace like I've never seen.
But like, former, if that was the Tigers, you'd be happy, wouldn't you, that they've been in the top eight the whole time? And
I don't know, mate. Like, I don't know whether it's good to be up and around that end and then drop off or whether
it's... With the roster they have, they're not taking the next step, let's be honest. But if you're happy to run fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth every year, it's good, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Plenty of teams that like to do that, you know.
Yeah, well, I've got one team I can think of. Mate, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy another week of lockdown. I'll tell you what, we're getting closer to that let go, I reckon.
Is it only a week? You only got a week left, have we?
A week until I talk again. That's about it. Mate, good to talk to you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Former. Take care, and take care of everyone out there.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
And because that was recorded earlier at the Dr. Kerry Chat Quarantine Studios, and I'm here on my own, mask-free, in the Craig Gower Quarantine Studios, here's my tips for Round 23, thanks to Bluebet. Melbourne by heaps, Manly in a close one against the Raiders, Souths in an upset over the Panthers, the Tigers to beat the Sharks, Knights to beat the Doggies, Parramatta over the Cowboys, Roosters by 30, and the Broncos to beat the Warriors. Good luck. And it's this time every week we get a guest tipster from our Patreon subscribers. This week, it's Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
G'day, Former, Sid, creditors and sponsors. It's Jeff here coming to you live from the Steve Goshen Quarantine Studio. Here's my tip, so get the red pen and the ruler out now. Thursday night, Titans versus Storm, Storm to win. Friday night's early game, Ricky's Raiders are up against Desi's Mob. Turbo plays, Raiders lose. Turbo doesn't play, Raiders still lose. Friday night's blockbuster, Judas Cleary's Panthers up against Wanye's Bunnies, Panthers to win. Moving on to Saturday, the mighty West Tigers take on the Sharkies in Rockhampton. The winner here will narrowly miss out on the finals anyway. Tigers to win. Bulldogs play the Knights. Yeah, we don't care either. Knights win. Dogs cover the spread. Eels play the Cowboys. Eels will win, unfortunately, but you're always welcome on the show, Mitch. On Sunday, the Roosters turn to beat the hapless Dragons in Toowoomba. Roosters to win. And finishing up the round, it's the Broncos playing the Warriors. Broncos to win. Now remember your Patreon subscriptions, remember the membership packs, and have a great week, everybody.
I tell you what, if we ever needed someone to do some middle work in the voice department, I think Jeff's going to get a call, I reckon.
Jeff's the man. That was one of the best.
All right, let's do this.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Yeah, the boy sack. Mail and feedback time. We'll just quickly look at the tipping comp. We'll look at the top three and then the bloke running 25th. up the top is Paul Croucher. He's on 137.
On you, Crouchy.
If you don't mind. John Shaw is on 136.
On you, Shorey.
And Dean Chalmers is on 135. They're the top three.
Super Nintendo Chalmers.
I think the winner will come out of those three at this stage of the comp. Although, they're all looking over their shoulder at this bloke, running 25th, at Former underscore legend. Though a few blokes will be having some sleepless nights knowing he's that close, he's within striking distance.
You're like fourth or fifth not long ago. You're like second or something not long ago. What happened, mate? What happened?
I had a buy round.
Oh, okay.
When I say buy round, I fucking put in shit tips. First letter this week, and there's a couple. And I haven't proofread them because old mate said, don't proofread them. So get nervous.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
This one's from Sterlo. Oh, geez. Hi, guys. Love the show, and I just wanted to clear some stories in the media about my exit from Channel 9. Yes, they tried to gag me, even threatened me with having to co-commentate the remainder of the season with Ray Hadley. But the truth is, I can't work any longer with a company who thinks dipshits like Gallen and Lockyer are the up-and-coming talent. Even Aaron Molan used to struggle with pronouncing my name. But I'm very grateful for my time in the rugby league media, but probably more grateful I've never had to call a game with Brayton Astor and Matt Nabel. All the best, Peter. That's nice.
Yeah, good on you, Peter.
This one's got me jumpy. Hi, Former and Sid. I just heard the state is in a month-long lockdown due to a virus that started because someone bit into a bat in China. When will everyone learn that biting into things only leads to people being locked down? Anyway, got to get back to the laundry. See you in five, maybe four. Regards, Jared from Cooma.
Thanks, Jared.
All right.
It's good hearing from the fans every week.
They love us in Cooma.
Yeah.
Time for some trivia, Sid.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's Former Legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
It's just the two this week.
Well, it's been a very educational podcast, I think, from beginning to end.
Well, you're about to learn something else.
Okay, good.
A survey from Time Out New York magazine found that almost 31% of guys have faked an orgasm.
Yeah, I can see that.
Upsettingly, 50% of this podcast have faked an orgasm on their own.
I'm not sure how that even works.
Just so I could go to bed. what about this? One in five people use their smartphones during sex.
Yeah.
At least that is adults between 18 and 34 years of age. One in five use their smartphones during sex. Or if you're like me, Sid, just before sex.
Is that to film the act or just because I can't do the deed unless I'm watching chicks on yoga mats on TikTok?
I think it's to get on to Luke Boner on Triple M during the Midnight to Dawn.
Whatever gets you on the boner.
Two boners in the one call. Listen, while we've got everyone, there's a big announcement.
Yes.
We... I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Let's get it started, it'll be all right. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? I gotta know what you're doing with me. I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Don't be sharp, baby, I won't bite. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action? Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?